Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Is my creation! Life!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Give countdown. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Well now, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Guy James Show. Yes, liberal Democratic talk show. You heard that right. Welcome to the show. Glad to have all of you along with us this afternoon. Kind of a light crowd today. Don't know where everybody is. There's something special going on right now. I don't know. I don't know. Don't have any idea. Anyway, I can tell we have kind of a light crowd right now. And, we'll just make the best of it, you and I. Hey, a lot going on. Don't know where to start today. It's one of those days of doing prep for the show. Didn't know where to go first. No huge news today, I guess, but, lots of peripheral issues taking place, and so we'll probably touch a little bit on all of them today. And hopefully you'll just light up the phones today, 866-546-5254, 866-546-5254. And that reminds me, I better just turn the old phone on right now. There we go. And so we're all ready for your calls, 866-546-5254. And if you've got minutes to burn, why, you can give us a call at 304-574-7813, 7814, or 7815. We'll be glad to have you join us on any of those numbers. Today was the big day for, as the press was putting forth, some sort of a face-off between Cheney and Obama. I didn't think that was a fair fight. We'll talk about that today. I'd like to know what you think about it. We're having, by the way, rains and storms here today in southwest Florida. So if we all of a sudden go bye-bye, you'll know that lightning hit nearby or something like that. So we'll warn you ahead of time. But I think we'll be okay. I think maybe the worst of it's past. We've been getting rain just about every day lately, and it's most welcome, believe me. We have the situation where we have those fires this time of year, and this rain is, it's long overdue. Up until last week, I think we only had an inch and a half of rain for the entire year, and things get really dry and start burning, so we're happy for the rain, except it gets my car all wet, and then I have to clean it up again, but I don't mind. I really don't. The first thing I wanted to mention today is it serves me right, as I guess, for trusting a Republican. I don't know why I would ever do that. I apologize for Bob Barr not being on the program yesterday. He had confirmed, and we had confirmed, that he was going to join us on the program. I think somebody sent me a note, and the reason I'm saying this, somebody sent me a note saying that I probably just said that to get people to listen to the program. No, I wouldn't do that, and I certainly wouldn't bring Bob Barr out of the hat. I'd say Bill Clinton or something, but not Bob Barr. But anyway, he didn't show and didn't bother to call and say thank you, go to hell, or anything. So that serves me right to ever trust the Republican or whatever he is. I'm not so sure what he is anymore. I do know that back during the impeachment, he was such a loathsome character to me. And we were going to talk yesterday about an issue that had nothing to do with that sort of thing, or politics, is something we probably agree on. But anyway, he didn't call and didn't even send an email. Did no courtesy whatsoever. So we want to thank Bob Barr, and we want to take the blame for trusting a Republican. Should never, 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 never do that. Don't know why I even did. So anyway, got that out of the way. The Freepers, we haven't heard a whole lot from the Freepers lately. They have lost it. Not that they weren't already almost half nuts. And by the way, I don't know how many of you remember, but when I went out to Crawford, Texas there a few years back, and we did our show from Crawford at the Peace House when Cindy Sheehan was there and all, a bunch of Freepers were there. And they were picketing and carrying on and doing what Freepers do. And it was one of the wildest scenes I've ever seen. The people were just plain goofy. And haven't heard a whole lot from them lately, but they're all riled up now. And had somebody point me over that direction today and went over and took a look at the Free Republic site. And they're all clamoring for Dick Cheney to run for president. What do you think? Wouldn't that be a hoot? I would love it. Run, Dick, run. I say go for it. I would love that. Yes, indeed. Run, Dick, run. I see General Motors and the union have reached, United Auto Worker Union has reached an agreement about health care. It's going to save General Motors a couple of billion dollars on health care over the years. I'll give you three guesses who's getting screwed in that deal. I think we all know. And also, I ran across a story today, and we'll probably talk about that a little later today. Max Baucus. You know how much I love Max Baucus lately, and I know you do as well, for not giving anybody a seat at the table with these health care hearings. And nobody from single payer even represented. Now they've put the hearings behind closed doors. How much more blatant about the fact that the healthcare industry owns him can he be, Max Baucus? I don't know. Just don't know how more blatant he could be. So there were no press, no notes, no audience, nothing. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Doesn't it sound like Dick Cheney and his energy meetings back at the start of the Bush administration when they first came into office? I'll tell you something, unless there's national security involved, and there's no national security involved in this health care thing, he'd have a hell of a time trying to prove that to me. Unless there's national security involved, there should never be closed-door meetings in Washington, D.C. We have sunshine laws locally where we don't allow that sort of thing. And it should not go on in Washington. And yet, here's Max Baucus, who doesn't have the courage to conduct another hearing in public because he knows what's going to happen. He knows. So, anyway. And I see they're talking on a chat room about the Glenn Beck thing. He was crazy enough to go, well, he's half nuts anyway. I think we all know that. And he went on The View. It's that show with Barbara Walwal and Whoopi Goldberg and a couple of other people, and that Elizabeth, that goofy Republican woman, Elizabeth something. I can't think of her name. And he was dumb enough to go on that show, and he really thought that he was going to go on there and pump himself up and look really good. And so here's what happened to Glenn Beck when he went on The View.
Excuse me. Why are you nervous? What have you looked the way looking Whoopi is looking at me?
I'm going to tell you before we start. She said, buckle your seatbelt, Glenn.
I'm a little pissed at you.
We were not going to start off on this, but you have two of us.
Yeah.
Okay?
To deal with.
Yeah.
Yeah,
boy.
By the way, back and relax.
This happened after you were booked, Glenn.
Yes,
you
I know.
First you were booked. We were very gracious. We wanted to know more about you.
Yes.
This happened after you were booked.
Wow.
Yeah, we were heading, I believe, to the correspondence dinner,
yes,
all down to Washington,
mm-hmm,
Barbara and myself, and you were on the train when we got on the train.
Mm-hmm.
Had a perfectly decent ride. You introduced yourself to Barbara, yes, said you were going to be on the show.
I did.
I gave you a look like I gave you just now.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was all fine. We got off the train and we went on our merry way. The following Monday,
mm-hmm,
I got this link from somebody sent to me. Really pissed me off because I don't want to just say, Glenn Beck, you lied, but I'm going to take a look.
All right.
And so there were four seats at this table and it was empty. So we get in and we sit down at the table and the lady says, no, you can't take those. Why not? They're reserved. They're reserved. You can't reserve. No, these are reserved. Now I'm thinking, Joe Amtrak Biden is getting onto the train because you cannot reserve a seat on Amtrak. They don't do it. Well, all of a sudden the police enter, clear the path. It's Barbara Walters and Whoopi Goldberg. Oh, and Steve Croft. How did they reserve seats on Amtrak when you can't reserve seats on Amtrak? Now, as the train took off, and Barbara said, Glenn Beck. And I said, yes, Mrs. Walters, how are you? You're going to be on our show in a couple of weeks, I understand. I said, oh. And Whoopi looks up over her glasses. Oh, yes, Glenn Beck. Yes.
And that's why.
Mischaracterization of you, Miss Walters. I'm sorry for the bad...
You said... She came over.
No, and you didn't.
You came over to me.
You're exactly right.
I was very nice and polite to you.
Yes, you were.
Okay, but there's a little more. So I'd like you to apologize.
Why did you lie about that?
Why did I lie about that?
Yeah, why did you say she came over?
I don't know. I came over.
So
I don't know.
You had a brain fart or what?
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
So Steve Craw, I wanted to make sure before I brought this up to you, we didn't reserve... seats. I don't know.
You're accusing me of lying. Let me tell you what.
Lie. What do you mean I'm accusing you? You sat there and you were a lying sack of dog mess.
Here's the thing that was true.
I was not particularly happy to see you because I
you
watch
like
your
me.
Show. No, I don't like your views. I don't know you, okay? I don't like your views, okay?
Okay.
There's a lot of people that I don't like whose views that I don't agree with. That's okay. But for you to make something up like that and drag us in and put it as though
I was told by the Amtrak people that those were going to be reserved
you
and I would be and I would
into
excuse
it.
Me
and it was
I would
lie.
Be so excited when I find out who's sitting there.
Why did you bother as a reporter who goes on to check? As it happened, Whoopi and I had a hard time finding seats. We finally did it at the end of the car. Steve Croft, who came in and went, and you saw him come in.
Yes.
There were no seats for Steve.
Not
he and his wife were separate.
So,
you are an investigative reporter.
No, I'm not.
Oh, you're a reporter.
No, I am not.
So you check no facts at all?
I am a commentator. I commentate on life.
Do you ever check your facts?
But you were wrong here.
Yeah.
And here's why it pissed me off. Here's why it pissed me off more than anything. Because regardless of that, when I got off that train and your big man was standing there, I had a good moment with you and I thought, okay, this is all right. When I saw this and what went on to it, I thought, why would you drag me into it? But number one, why would you say that she called you over with that voice? Come over here. And then say, it's there.
Do you not think that, did you not think that I knew this was coming? Did you not think I knew this was coming?
I have no problem. I don't care if you knew what it was.
I have no problem.
Why did you lie, Glenn? Why did you try to make some stuff up about Barbara and I? That's what I'm trying to find out.
I'm sorry that I, to use Nancy Pelosi's words, misspoke about being you calling me over. You did not call me over. I went over.
Let me just ask you.
We should bring Nancy Pelosi in.
I mean, I have to. This is what.
Now, let me just ask you something else. Because we did invite you on because you are a very hot talent. And you say you're a comment, and we have all different point. Bill O'Reilly's on with us.
Sure.
We don't agree. We do agree. We love him, etc. But when you say you're a commentator, you never check any facts that you are giving out to the public.
I will show the people that were with me. I was traveling with three other people.
No, I'm talking about general. I'm talking about moving along. You just said now, I'm a commentator. I'm not investigative. And
Amtrak, when the lady from Amtrak says you're going to be so excited because we have people coming, they're going to sit right here. No, just wait. Let me. Please, may I?
Right there.
Please, may I?
Sure.
So they say you're going to be so excited. You guys go and you sit in that area.
I'm talking about the future. I'm saying you're a commentator talking to millions of people, and you say, no, I don't investigate. All you had to do was call Whoopi and me. You know what? We're going to give you a chance to breathe. I'm sure that you meant well.
We're giving you another segment.
And we'll give you another segment.
Because
we'll come back
good.
And talk
That's
about
our problem.
Okay? We'll be back in Denver.
That's where they goofed right there. They should have just told him to get his ass off the set right then and there, and that was enough. He made fun of them on his show. He didn't think they'd find out, and they called him on the carpet about it, and he looked like a dumbass in front of a huge audience, and he is a dumbass. Beck is, there's something wrong with him. I don't have to tell you that. There's something wrong with Glenn Beck. And he's going around saying things like this. I happen to have run across another clip of Glenn Beck today. I don't know why I'm picking on Glenn Beck today, but he deserves it. Here's Glenn Beck doing something that I think is just abominable. I have no use for the guy, and he's a typical right-winger. He claims not to be a Republican. Here's another little ditty with Glenn Beck today.
Gun sales are going up through the roof. And let me tell you something. I really, truly believe the reason why a lot of Americans aren't paying attention to this is because they... Does anybody remember the poem, you know, first they came for the Jews and I didn't stand up because I wasn't a Jew? Do you know that from Germany? And at the end, I think this is the problem. First, they came for the banks. When I wasn't a banker, I didn't really care. I didn't stand up and say anything. Then they came for the AIG executives. Then they came for the car companies, and I didn't say anything. Until it gets down to you, most people don't see they are coming for you at some point. You're on the list. Everybody's on the list.
First of all, who are they? Who are they that are coming for us? Is it the liberals? Is it the Democrats? Is that what he's speaking of? They are coming for you? Everyone's on the list? And he starts off by, first they came for the banks, and then they came for AIG, and then they came for the automobile companies. Is anybody going to stand up and defend the banking executives and AIG executives that ran those entities into the ground, you freaking idiot, you? And the automobile companies whose management ran them into the ground? First you stand up for them, and then you say they're coming for us? Who, Glenn? Who in your commentary, who is coming for us? Who, with your lack of checking facts, is coming for us, Glenn Beck? And I would ask the question, as I often do, of people like him, about people like him. Once again, we contacted his people and asked him to come on the show, and of course the answer was a resounding no. Nobody like him would ever come on and defend themselves. Never. He got ambushed on the View, as well he should have, and he would get ambushed on the show if he came on. But once again, proving the point that we've been talking about lately, these people can say anything they want to say, and they do, whether it's fact, fiction, or contrived. They say anything they like, and people believe it. They're coming for you. We're all on the list. Was he saying that when George W. Bush was trampling on the Constitution for 8 years? No, he wasn't. Isn't it odd that all these people, the O'Reillys and the guys like Beck and the guys like Hannity and now Rush Limbaugh, the drug junkie, still, whether he wants to admit it or not, the head of the Republican Party. Isn't it just odd that these people can say anything they like and millions of people will take it to the bank? And isn't it just odd that they all defend corporate America no matter what they do? Isn't it just odd that they defended AIG and the banks and your Goldman Sachs and all the people on Wall Street, Limbaugh in particular? He's in their corner. So, I guess my question is, who is they? I'm not coming for them. I don't think you're coming for them. But they want us to believe that Joseph Stalin is right around the corner. Isn't that the way that they want us to believe? They believe that a Benito Mussolini or an Adolf Hitler is right around the corner. Some liberal with those names coming after them. They did want to rename us the Democrat Socialist Party, you know. So that's what the idea is now. They have no ideas. They have no core principles that amount to a damn. They have nothing. They ran this country into the ground fiscally, our reputation. They ran it completely into the ground, left the most terrible mess for an incoming president that it's like I don't know why anybody would have wanted the job after that. I'm surprised anybody ran. And yet, and then they say, they are coming for you. Well, I just find it amusing in one way, and I find it tragic in another, that people fall for that day in and day out. And that's why I constantly bring it up, and that's why I sound like a broken record. Why, oh, why can't we even the playing field on the left? Why can't we? Are we boring? Don't we know anything about broadcasting? Is that it? Are we unappealing completely? What is it? I mean, I'm a big boy. I can take it. If you hate this show, call me and tell me so. Give us a hint. What is it? Why? Why, oh, why can't somebody well-informed on the left, particularly in radio, enjoy any success countering these stupid bastards on the right? These phonies, these charlatans, and in some cases people who actually believe the message they point out, people like Sean Hannity, I believe he believes it, which makes him the scariest one of all. I don't understand. I don't think I ever will. And I know you're tired of me saying that. But I just had to bring that up today. Just had to bring it up today. Much ado was made today of the, I don't know, they made it sound like there was going to be a duel today between Cheney and President Obama. First of all, that's not a fair fight. That's not a fair fight at all. We have one man on the left working hard to make a difference. He just began his administration. What, about 4 months out now or so? The jury's still out on some things. On others, it is not. The other guy, this we know. We know he is a confirmed liar. We know that. And we know that he's basically the nastiest, most hated son of a bitch in the history of American politics. And as far as I'm concerned, that goes for his wife and one of his daughters, too. Seems like the only decent one in the family is his daughter, his gay daughter that he shuns in public. That he dares to get up in public and criticize the Obama administration after the wasteland his administration left behind for the Obama administration is just plain unbelievable. I've seen gall before, but Cheney is the all-time champion. But what's really weird is that the Republicans seem to have just given up any pretense that Bush was anything other than an empty suit, the empty suit we suspected all along. Between the Dick's nonstop speechifying lately, his really weird, odd response on Meet the Press, in which he said, and I quote, "I guess the president had been briefed." And stunts like this speech today, Cheney is basically telling you who the head honcho for the last 8 years was, and he wasn't some idiot legacy frat boy from Connecticut either. Not that anyone ever thought that any different. And here's what I'd like to know. Is the Republican establishment in favor of him making an ass out of them every time he talks? Or are they afraid of him? I would love to know the answer to that question. Josh Marshall, who I admire tremendously for his writing, wrote something today about Dick Cheney that I wholeheartedly agree with. But first, let's head on over and answer the phone, okay? Hello, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, Guy, it's Kevin from Brooklyn.
Hi, Kevin.
Yeah. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay, the fact that George Carlin has died of a heart attack and this son of a bitch is still alive, once me the question my religious beliefs.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
All the good people died of heart attacks, but this asshole is still alive.
Just keeps going. He's the Energizer Bunny, isn't he?
I know he made a pact with the devil. I know. I just know. Part of that Illuminati crowd. He has to be.
I agree. He's the personification of evil. And I guess his ratings show it, but the scary fact is still, what, 20% of the people still like him?
This is the 20% who believes in Empire.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever seen the movie W?
Yeah.
That scene when they're in the, the war bunker room, and he talks about his grand plan for Asia and the Middle East.
Right.
That is a scary scenario, and that, I have a feeling, was very real.
I think you're right. I absolutely believe it was. I thought that movie was very kind to George W. Bush. Did you not? It kind of made him out to be a buffoon, but it kind of made it out to be the fact that maybe his mommy and daddy didn't treat him right, and his family situation wasn't good, and so that's maybe why he turned out the way he did.
Well, I think Oliver Stone was just trying to stick with the facts because he knew, he didn't want to, go too far from the fray.
Yeah.
But the whole family is a bunch of sociopaths. And, that's all I can say about them. You're talking about three generations of sociopathic behavior. There hasn't been a Bush who actually shed blood for this country in a century and a half.
Yeah. Even
they've profited off a war for the past century and a half.
What was the first one? Prescott. He was as bad news as they come.
Yeah, and it goes further back to the First World War. They profited off of the First World War.
Well, they're great patriots, you know, great Americans. They've had two presidents in the family. Probably will shoot for a third if they, and they've got the chutzpah to do it. I think they'll probably get Jebby in there.
Well, I think what's going to end up happening, you know, is that Jeb will probably end up being senator in the Ted Kennedy fashion. And I don't think they're going to do presidency for this generation. It's going to go on to Prescott. George Prescott Bush, the Hispanic guy.
Yeah.
And that's how they're going to market him.
Well, I sure hate to look ahead that far and think that could happen, but you're right. It could. This is America after all.
Yeah, and, you know, we're not the most – they're going to wait a generation, so they're long forgotten, and they're going to be the voice of the opposition, you know, and this is what they're going to do. Because, you know, the Republican Party is going to be the party in darkness for the next, you know, 20 years, I hope. Let me retrieve some of that money that I've lost.
Well, they will – they're not exactly laying low right now, but their chances of coming back in the near future are not good unless there's some kind of a gigantic screw-up in the Obama administration.
Well, they're talking it, and you know what? This is to keep – they're not looking at the presidency because I think Obama has his eight. They're looking more for to get at least Senate and Congress back.
Yeah, that's where they have to start.
It's not about the presidency at this point. It's about getting back the Senate and Congress. You know, and you know that's why Dick Cheney's doing what he's doing. They're trying to retrieve that base back, and the day that happens is the day I am bugging out of this country.
Well, let me know. Be sure and get two tickets. or three or four. That would be a sad day if they could come back with the legacy that they've got now, right now. And
they're trying to change history and revise history and all that.
Sure.
And, you know, come on, when Virginia... And who else went Democratic?
Let me see. We were close on North Carolina.
Very.
I don't think we quite got it.
They're about to turn.
Yeah, they're on the borderline. There are several more seats that we could grab. Some of them in the South are locked in stone and will be.
And I think Georgia's about to turn. So the only two states they can really rely on is probably Mississippi and South Carolina.
Yeah, Louisiana be in their camp. I guess Texas.
Louisiana, I don't think so. I think New Orleans is going to.
South Carolina is pretty solid for them. When you've got a guy like Lindsey Graham representing you, why.
Doesn't he remind you of that guy from The Midnight of Good and Evil, the Kevin Spacey character?
Yes. He's
the epitome of it. Southern bachelor.
Yeah, absolutely pathetic character. And yet there he is, a man in the United States Senate. And never really a thought, even though we're talking about South Carolina here, I never really thought that he would make it into the Senate from the House. But he did, and he did easily. And he'll probably hang on that seat as long as he wants it in South
Carolina.
Oh, that's
the tradition.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll never forget sitting on Meeting Street in Charleston and making the comment, not exactly realizing who the company was that was sitting around me. Sitting on Meeting Street in Charleston and made a comment, something about Strom Thurmond, because we'd run into him down by the Citadel earlier in the day. And I made this comment about Strom Thurmond and his age, and some old boy says to me, we will vote for Strom as long as Strom can pull the lever. We will vote for Strom. Okay. Okay.
Too bad it's such a pretty state, too.
Yes, it is. It is. And I love
beautiful.
Charleston. Charleston's one of my favorite places in the entire country, except for that type of thing. They have a little bit
and
of revisionist history going on there.
Yeah, and they have some interesting restaurants with some very ugly black caricatures.
Oh, yeah. There's a, I'm trying to think what this one restaurant is in Columbia,
South Jezebel.
What's that?
Jezebel.
Oh,
with
that's
the huge black carpet church.
Yeah. But there's another one called, I'll have to think of it later. Good food, I'll have to tell you. This one, it's not named after that, I'll have to ask. But, I love Charleston. I love the Low Country. I love South Carolina. But, I think I may have told you one time, I they're great with their revisionist history in Charleston. And everybody that lives south of Broad Street, that's down in the little peninsula that sticks down there, that is Charleston, they call themselves SOBs, south of Broad. And they think of themselves as the high and mighty of the city of Charleston, which they are. All those old beautiful southern mansions down there on Meeting Street and on some of the other streets. And I had a guy tell me one time, you know, the slaves, and they talk about slaves in Charleston. He said, the slaves we had here, they liked being slaves. And because we took such good care of them, you see. And they liked, I said, those little brick 10x10 rooms that you kept them in, they liked that, eh? Oh, well, that's a lot better than they had it anyplace else, you know. Well, you know, how do you say anything about that?
To a certain degree, you know, and because I don't know if you knew, but most slaves were treated humanely to a very basic level.
Somewhat, yes.
Yeah, I would say a lot were because of their value. Because of their value, you know, but it's just a mere human insult of being a slave.
Can you imagine?
And the brutality, you know, examples had to be made.
Right.
But most people who owned slaves only owned one or two, and that was probably their most valuable asset.
Just can't fathom that. Can't put myself in that place that somebody else would have total and complete control over my life and actually own papers that says I belong to them. I can't get there in my head.
Yeah, well, you know, and because I've been doing some research too, and you'd be surprised the brokerage houses that are so New York that were built on slavery. Mm-hmm. Brown Brothers Harriman, one of them.
Yeah, right down in the middle of Charleston there, the big old market on Market Street.
Yeah.
They had a big old slave auction right there.
Yeah.
But
a lot of this country's economy is built on slavery. And, you know, what about Lehman Brothers, too? Southern. Has a southern origin.
It wasn't the pure philosophical thing that it was supposed to be that the war started. It was economic. It wasn't about states' rights. It was about keeping their farming alive in the South with the slaves. They couldn't have grown some of the crops they did, and they could not have prospered the way they did unless they owned the slaves. And that's what the war was about. And, you know, as it always boils down to, money.
About money. Yeah. War is about money. Money and assets.
Yep.
You know? And it's a shame. It's a shame.
Hey, you know? Kevin, thanks for calling. Good to hear from you today.
Okay, same here. Same here, buddy.
Take care, my friend.
Okay. Okay, bye.
Down Civil War, that's what it's about. It's about money. There's no two ways about it. Hey, we're going to pause for a break. We're going to hear from the Media Matters Minute, and we'll be back.
This is the Media Matters Minute. I'm Ben Fischel. Our top item today, in a stunning announcement, Rush Limbaugh has resigned as the titular head of the Republican Party. Jokingly, of course.
I am resigning as the titular head of the Republican Party. No more, no more. I quit. I resign as the titular head of the Republican Party. So I now pass the baton to General Powell as the titular head of the Republican Party.
In other news, Fox News' Glenn Beck appeared on ABC's The View and got a taste of what it feels like to be confronted on his past falsehoods.
Wait a minute.
Accusing me of lying. Let me tell you what.
Lie. What do you mean I'm accusing you? You
sorry,
sat there and you were a lying sack of dog mess. You lied.
For these stories and more, follow us on Twitter at MMFA and visit MediaMatters.org.
The Guy James Show here on the Hit On Radio Network today. Welcome. Glad to have all of you along with us. I was going to mention a note written by Josh Marshall today. I admire Josh's writing tremendously. And he wrote this about Dick Cheney today. He said, "This is an extremely gullible man who has just come off being the driving ideological force in an administration that most people can already see. Produced more fiascos and titanic self-inflicted goofs than possibly any in our entire history. By any standard, the guy is a monumental failure, and not one whose mistakes stem in some Lyndon Johnson fashion from tragic overreach, but just a fool who damaged his country through his own gullibility, paranoia, and bad judgment. Whatever else you can say about the Cheney story, it ain't Shakespearean. So as we see, the big reporters trying to put him on some sort of equal footing with President Obama today, let's remember that the great majority of Americans see Dick Cheney accurately as a clown, and mockery isn't just the most effective, but also the most morally apt response to the man." That by Josh Marshall. I think that was very, very, very well said, Josh. Very well said. We've had We've had Dickie Cheney lately out on his magical mystery media tour. I'm tired of seeing his face. He's sought out and been interviewed by more TV journalists and talk show hosts during the past month than probably the entire 8 years that he was vice president. And if you've noticed, the topic's always the same. Torture was done by the Bush-Cheney administration, and it was effective. He's not sorry for any of it. Everyone held at Guantanamo is evil and should never be released. And whatever President Obama is doing about any of that is a threat to national security. He claims that every time. And Cheney claims that because of the actions he and George W. Bush took after 9/11, there were no more attacks upon the United States. Well, you know, that may be true, that there were no more attacks. And I would also point out to the fact that today, during the Obama administration, a possible attack was thwarted. And this one seems legit, unlike some of them that the Bush administration liked to talk about. But prior to 9/11, the one thing Cheney doesn't say, and they never want to admit this, is that administration rejected pleas from the FBI to increase funding and manpower for counterterrorism. The Clinton administration left him with that advice. He doesn't say that the CIA intelligence reports told the president that Al-Qaeda was planning a major attack, probably by air. It was literally spelled out in the report to him. Oh, he doesn't mention that. And he doesn't tell us that following 9/11, the administration carried out a systematic shredding of six constitutional amendments in the crazy belief that somehow sniping away that America's fabric and the Constitution would somehow protect us from further harm. He doesn't tell us that. And he also doesn't tell us that even though torture was used, and it's contrary to every international law, he doesn't tell us that according to senior officials at both the FBI and the CIA, it did not produce truly valuable intelligence. He doesn't mention that it was probably his own paranoia and his own fears that pushed the nation's military and intelligence communities to use torture. It was him. And he conveniently doesn't mention the fact that Iraq did not have weapons of mass destruction. And he conveniently forgets to tell us that they didn't have ties to Al-Qaeda and to 9/11. And he doesn't say that by diverting Americans' military forces from Afghanistan to Iraq, that his administration probably let Osama bin Laden and a whole hell of a bunch of Al-Qaeda to remain at large for 8 years or more. And he sure doesn't mention that 4,000 Americans were killed and another 30,000 wounded. A lot of them with injuries that'll be with them for the rest of their lives. Horrible injuries. And here's another thing you won't hear Dick Cheney say. According to every major independent poll that I've seen, only 20 or maybe 22% of Americans now even want to identify themselves as Republicans. After all that, does anyone wonder why four-fifths of Americans don't want to be tainted by the actions done by the Bush-Cheney administration and the direction of the Republican Party that's taken in the past couple of years to eliminate any Republicans who's not in lockstep with these radical, crazy, extreme right-wingers and their agenda? I think Dick Cheney needs to remember one thing, and I think every single American needs to remember one thing, and every single SOB that was in that freaked-out administration of George W. Bush's. They can spin it all they want to, but the reality of the situation is that 9/11 occurred on the Bush-Cheney watch, and that's never going to change no matter how much they spin it. Never. But I didn't hear Dick Cheney mention any of that. When the war was first started by us in Iraq, and we heard them all saying, we heard them going on TV, well, the weapons might have Rumsfeld, well, they may be north, they may be west of Baghdad, they're at hidden bunkers in the desert, they've been moved to Syria, they've been moved here, they've been moved there, they're hidden, they're in parts in people's gardens and their backyards, and the tooth fairy took them. We heard every story in the book. And then it started coming out ever so slowly that there were no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. We had Mohammed al-Baradei. We had Scott Ritter on this program telling us that there were no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. And so many people said, oh, well, we can't trust these guys. The CIA? Yes, the CIA, who would never be wrong, who would never lie, says they did have them. Well, it turns out that all we anti-American, un-American left-wingers were right. It did turn out that we were right, didn't it? And they played that hand for as long as they possibly could. They played it for a year, 2 years, I forget just how long. But they played that hand over and over and over again, still looking for the weapons of mass destruction, still trying to prove that they went into Iraq for all the right reasons. They've got mass destruction weapons there. They're threatening the entire Middle East. They're threatening America. Their planes, their drones are going to fall over and bring a mushroom cloud to the United States. Yes, that's it. And we'll sell this war to the American people. And they did. And where I'm concerned, that was probably the worst intentional act of any president or vice president in American history. I cannot think of an act by any other president or vice president as vile, as destructive, as ultimately evil as that decision was to go to war in Iraq. And now we find out through bits and pieces that the enhanced interrogation techniques were being used not necessarily to prove that there were weapons of mass destruction, or not necessarily to get information that was true, but to get anything that they would confess to plant the seed that if you admit that Al-Qaeda was involved with Saddam Hussein, we'll stop torturing you. And so they got some answers that they wanted. And Cheney himself pushed for these answers. Oh, you didn't get what we wanted? Go back and do it again. And again. And again. And again. And again. And sooner or later, you'll get them to say what it is I want them to say. I want them to say that, yes, there were connections between Al-Qaeda and Saddam Hussein. I want them to say that, yes, in fact, there were weapons of mass destruction being produced in Iraq. And that way, I, Dick Cheney, and my little buddy George W. Bush. We won't look foolish in the eyes of the world. We'll be heroes that we've saved the Middle East. We've saved Israel. We've saved the surrounding countries from destruction from Saddam Hussein. The same Saddam Hussein that we've all seen in the picture with the smiling Donald Rumsfeld shaking his hand. The same Saddam Hussein that Daddy Bush did business with. That's Saddam Hussein. So we can all see what's going on here. Dick Cheney is going through this kabuki theater of his now to try and convince us that they were all doing the right thing all along, and that President Obama is doing things all wrong. And just to let you know how evil I think Dick Cheney is, I believe, and I have no way of knowing this, but knowing how this man has behaved and knowing the things that he has said and the way he's acted in his public life, I am as sure I can be that if we were attacked, that he would jump for joy as long as it wasn't somebody in his family that was killed. That way he could make his case. See, I told you. See, I told you that Obama wasn't doing the right thing to protect us. I would bet that's the case. The man is that much of a sociopath. The man has that much evil in his heart. I see that Mitch McConnell said that he didn't listen to Cheney today. Mitch McConnell is at least one Republican I don't agree with on his views, but he's one Republican that saw what was happening to the Republican Party, the damage that the Bush administration was doing to the party, and kind of let it be known that, you know, he kind of said so. And so today, when it came to the point where he was being asked about watching the Cheney speech today, at the American Enterprise Institute, by the way. Mitch McConnell didn't want to really say that he gave any credence to it, or in fact that he even listened to it at all. I think a lot of Republicans would like to get Cheney off the stage. They'd like to get him out of the limelight. But what are you going to do? The media will give him all the face time that he wants. He's a good story. Hey, I've been talking about him for a half hour. So he's a good story, and they would hate to see him go away anytime soon. And as long as he's willing to go in front of the cameras and demonize the Obama administration, they will allow him to do so. I don't think there's any question about that. We'll continue talking about the wing nuts in the next hour of the program, coming up after the news. There's much to discuss. I hope you'll join us. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. And our number, if you've got plenty of free minutes to use, 304-574-7813. So do join us if you can. We're going to take a break right now. You are listening to the Guy James Show, and we'll be back after the news at the top of the hour. And by the way, you can visit our website, theguyjamesshow.com. Head on over there and our blog, theguyjamesshow.com/blog. We put something up on there just yesterday, I think it was.
Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. Cornell University professor Kate Bronfenbrenner says a five-year study finds that three-quarters of American employers regularly engage in illegal anti-union activities when workers try to use NLRB elections to form unions.
We found that employers are engaging in a combination of threats, harassment, interrogation, retaliation, and literally terrorism against workers in the workplace, and they're doing so with impunity because we have a legal framework which is broken.
Restoring the right of workers to organize is critical if the majority of workers who say they want unions ever have a chance of getting them.
We need to get a system in place so that workers are able to exercise their right to join unions. And the Employee Free Choice Act is an important first step in giving American workers their right to organize back again.
As the June 1st deadline for the United Auto Workers and GM to complete a restructuring agreement approaches, big differences remain. One huge issue is the plan to consolidate plant capacity in the U.S. and how many imported cars GM will be selling in the U.S. Mike Heron is chairman of UAW Local 1853 in Spring Hill, Tennessee. He says if U.S. tax dollars finance a slash in U.S. production capacity, American auto workers won't be able to build the cars to meet North American market demand when the economy recovers.
If your capacity is all gone at that point, then you don't have the ability to be able to make those products in America. So that's the big concern. I think the American people get it. This isn't just an issue with the automotive industry. This is an issue with all jobs here in America. We've got unprecedented unemployment rates here, and I think that everybody's looking to be able to shore up our economy and try to be able to create jobs in this country. And it's extremely important, not only for us today, but also for our kids in the future and our grandchildren.
GM's bond debt holders may be key to whether GM will wind up following Chrysler into bankruptcy. Heron says the UAW is doing all it can to work with GM in recognition of the economic realities it confronts, while still trying to protect jobs and retiree pensions and health benefits. The UAW says the GM hourly pension plan is 89% funded, down from the 117% funding it had before the economic crisis. While he can't guarantee that GM UAW retirees will keep getting the same monthly pension checks, Heron says that so far at Chrysler, retirees are still getting theirs, despite the bankruptcy. The Pension Benefits Guarantee Corporation is the federal agency that pays a portion of pensions to retirees when companies go bankrupt. The payments are much less than the full pensions. The PBGC says it has a deficit of $33.5 billion. It says it has the funds to keep paying the benefits for many years, but long term, the deficit problem has to be resolved. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
If you don't clean up your room, the Board of Health is going to condemn it.
The Board of Health doesn't even know about your room. What's more, they don't care.
You know, if you keep making that face, it's going to freeze that way.
Not unless you're someplace really, really cold. Actually, a lot of the warnings moms hand out are a bit exaggerated.
If you don't get your blood pressure checked, you could have high blood pressure, not even know it, and you could die from a stroke.
But she's right about that one. Fact is, high blood pressure contributes to 200,000 American deaths each year, and a third of those who have high blood pressure don't know it. If they did, it'd be simple to treat. Call the American Heart Association at 1-800-AHA-USA1 or visit AmericanHeart.org on the web to learn more. Better still, ask your doctor to check your blood pressure.
If you run with those scissors,
it's the least you can do.
Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Fly! Fly, you hear me? Give my creation! Fly!
So this was fun.
You're gonna like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Good countdown. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast.
fellow America, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Welcome back, everybody. I hope you had a chance to head on out to the fridge and get yourself a cold one, whatever kind of a cold one that you like to drink. I could use a cold soda right now. I like my caffeine-free Diet Coke. There's a free ad for the Coke people. You suppose they'll send a check? Yes, caffeine-free Diet Coke. Been drinking that for a long time. Don't drink tons of it or anything. I guess you shouldn't. Looking over the news today, some distressing news, and we in case you didn't hear it, there were four people arrested in a plot to blow up a synagogue in New York. And also to shoot some missiles at military planes. There were four men arrested in New York City yesterday in what was described as a homegrown terrorist plot to blow up a synagogue and a Jewish center in the Riverdale section of the Bronx and then shoot Stinger ground-to-air guided missiles at planes at the New York Air National Guard base in upstate Newburgh, New York. The FBI said the arrest came after a long-running undercover operation in which an informant sold an inert missile and explosives to the suspects. And according to the FBI officials, the men, three Americans and a Haitian, had intentions to detonate satchels of bags filled with explosives in front of the Riverdale Temple and the Riverdale Jewish Center last night. And the four were identified as James Cromarty, David Williams, Anta Williams, and Laguerre Payan, all from Newburgh. And they were charged with conspiracy to use weapons of mass destruction within the U.S. and a conspiracy to acquire anti-aircraft missiles. Those boys are in a whole lot of trouble. That's for sure. And there's all this talk about how things are going so well in Iraq. I don't think they are going as well as our government would lead us to believe. I wish they were, but I see signs of it, of the place deteriorating every single day. At least 41 people were killed in Baghdad yesterday by a single car bomb, the deadliest bomb attack in the city in 3 weeks. If anybody thinks that these attacks are going to stop anytime soon, they're crazy. That nation is going to be in chaos for a long time until they actually get a central government, one that they can count on, and they've already stated they're going to push back their parliamentary elections from next year. It's going to be tough to get a government that the people in Iraq, with the Sunni and the Shia problem. No one claimed responsibility for that bomb yesterday, but it's believed to have been the work of Sunni insurgents who operate in the area. It was the worst attack on civilians since April 29th, when 51 people died following twin car bomb explosions in the Iraqi capital. And this latest assault, of course, raised more fears that the Iraqi army and police might not be up to the task of providing security once U.S. forces pull out of the major urban areas on June 30th. How many of you like me, believe that we won't have all of our major fighting forces out of urban areas on June 30th? I don't believe it. I don't. We'll see. And, of course, there's the news that the U.S. military is now admitting, finally, as they always do in the end. At first, they deny that there were 20 to 30 civilians killed in the Afghan bombing earlier this month. That's not making us any friends in Afghanistan. That's a certainty. And one thing that I think before we get into these serious discussions with Netanyahu and letting them do any damn well thing they please in that area with their military, I had an article sent to me about the realities of trying to strike Iran and trying to destroy their nuclear facilities. And military experts in that region are saying that a strike mission on the three nuclear facilities in Iran would require no fewer than 90 combat aircraft, including all 25 F-15Es in the Iraqi Air Force inventory and another 65 F-160 ICs. On top of that, all of the Israeli Air Force refueling planes will have to be airborne. The combat Air Force will have aircraft will have to be refueled both en route to and on the way back from Iran. And the Israeli Air Force will have a hard time locating an area above which tankers can cruise without being detected by the Syrians and the Turks. Neither of which is any friend or would be any friend to an attack on Iran by Israel. And one of the toughest operational problems to resolve in that whole scenario is the fact that the facility at Natanz is buried deep underground. And part of it, the fuel enrichment plant, reaches a depth of 8 meters and is protected by a 2.5 meter thick concrete wall, which in turn is protected by another concrete wall. And by mid-2004, the Iranians had fortified their defense of the other part of the facility where the centrifuges are housed, and they buried it 25 meters underground and built a roof over it made out of reinforced concrete several meters thick. What's the gist of this? The gist of this is the Israelis can't get there from here, not without nuclear weapons. And the thought of the consequences of that frightens them more than it does the Iranians. Therefore, they've got to somehow persuade Obama to either cooperate with them in some sort of a massive operation that wouldn't involve nuclear weapons, or better yet, from their point of view, they'd have to persuade Obama to make this an all-U.S. war against Iran. That's what they'd like to do. And so far, Israel's best asset in the effort to get what they want in regard to Iran are all the Iranians themselves. They've been unresponsive to President Obama's efforts to get him to talk that might lead to some sort of detente. And Ahmadinejad persists in his rhetoric, and all that does is add fuel to the fire. President Obama is not really interested in doing Israel's bidding in regard to Iran. But if the Iranians keep pouring gas on the fire, maybe he'd change his mind. And the peace process, you can forget that. Netanyahu'd rather die than see a Palestinian state come into being. You can count on that one. But I see they have tested a missile that could hit Israel and part of Europe. So we'll see if that causes a problem for anybody. 866-546-5254. If you'd like to join us here on the program, 866-546-5254. Let me just play this piece here while I was talking about the Israelis a moment ago. This ad was made by the Quakers, and it's an ad about the conflict between the Israelis and the Palestinians.
For 60 years, Israelis and Palestinians have searched for peace. Unable to forge an agreement that provides land and security to both peoples. Why does all the talk lead to nothing? The U.S. initiated the current round of negotiations, saying it supported both a secure Israel and the creation of a Palestinian state that is viable, contiguous, sovereign, and independent. However, the U.S. also said that new realities on the ground, the results of Israeli occupation of the West Bank, must be allowed to remain. What are these new realities? More than 200 Israeli settlements and outposts occupy areas of prime land and water. Israeli military zones and nature preserves are off limits to Palestinians. Israeli-only highways, checkpoints, and roadblocks further carve up the territory. Finally, the separation barrier and its buffer zone push deep into the West Bank. The U.S. government sees what remains as a viable, contiguous, sovereign, and independent Palestinian state. Do you?
Listening to Win, Workers Independent.
You remember me when the west wind moves among the fields of barley. You can tell the sun in his jealous sky when we walked in fields of gold. When we walked in fields of gold.
Cassidy. My, my, my. What a wonderful artist she was. Taken away from us at a very early age. All right, I'll admit it. Maybe I have admitted it on the show before. I watch American Idol. Yes, I do. I'm not going to seek help for that addiction. I do watch it. I fancy myself, as some of you know, I fancy myself as a little bit of a singer. A little bit of an entertainer musically. And so I do enjoy watching that program. And this year was exceptional. They had some great talent on it, but I have to say, and I think I've got a good eye for talent, I have to say that the vote last night for, what's his name, Chris, the kid that won it, probably the biggest injustice I've ever seen on that program. To me, a nice kid, all that. I think it's probably the reason he won, because he's a nice kid and all that. Adam came in second. I just think this is a travesty. The guy was so far above Chris. I mean, in a league by himself on that program this year, nobody, I think he's, without question in my mind, the best performer they've ever had on the history of that show. And I don't know how long it's been on, 7 or 8 years. No question, he's the finest that they ever had, and he ends up second. So says something about who's voting. I don't know what exactly. I've heard stories that the fundies put a concerted effort to have Chris win because Adam may be gay or something. That's what I heard. I don't know. I don't report on showbiz news very often, but I did enjoy hearing some of those kids sing this year. They were very, very, very good. Listen to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. I did want to talk about the wing nuts and how they act and. You know, I mean, this is a perfect example between the difference between us and the wing nuts. This Nancy Pelosi thing right now, how they're trying to bring about an investigation and who knows what the truth is right now. We're having even Arlen Specter say the CIA lies. I think we all know that the CIAs have been master prevaricators in times past. So I don't know who's telling the truth. Because of some statements Bob Graham has made, I am inclined to believe Pelosi. I don't like Pelosi, but I'm inclined to believe her, I think, because of some of the things that other people have said about the whole mess. But getting back to what I was talking about, the difference between us and the wingnuts, the wingnuts are about protecting other wingnuts. Not what's good for the country. This whole mess we had with Cheney and what's his name that Bush let off the hook. They don't want to get into it. While we who want an investigation, we don't care. We do not care. We want the truth. We could care less if Nancy Pelosi did know about the waterboarding. If she did, she should pay the price just like everyone else who was involved in it. That's the difference between us and them. The reason we support an investigation isn't about getting members of the Bush administration off. It's about getting this whole terrible, sordid period in our history behind us and ensure that it never, ever happens again. That's all it's about. If that means Dick Cheney goes down, so be it. And in the same breath, if that means Nancy Pelosi resigns, so be it. If that means that other Democrats in Congress who knew, if they get burned, tough. If they knew and they didn't speak out, then that's on them and they need to suffer the consequences of their inaction. They got nothing to do about protecting one party or another or getting one party or another. All I want's the truth. And I want everybody and anybody, regardless of party, brought to justice if in any way they had any part in this illegal activity. That's all I'm saying. But with them, it's all about protecting Republicans. They don't give a damn about the law. This political party that was so concerned about the rule of law not so long ago in a certain case with a certain Monica Lewinsky and a President Clinton. The rule of law. How many times did we hear that? How many times did we hear that from Bob Barr? How many of you are heading out to buy a new car anytime soon? You're heading out to buy a new General Motors car or a new Chrysler car? Have you seen any of the offers they've got out there? I haven't seen anything terrific of you. I don't think a lot of people are going to buy a new car no matter what. If they have to make a car payment and they're currently not making one, I don't think a lot of people are going to get involved. They've got a little money in the bank. They don't absolutely need a car. I don't think people are going to go out and buy a car in the manners in which they used to do. And what this, what I want to say here is that I think it's really odd that the conservatives are so eager to see the American auto industry go belly up. And they are eager about it. These same right-wingers are employing one of the strategies most directly responsible for the demise of Detroit in their own search for a new political savior for their party. Bear me out here. To make a very, very long short and long story short, and I saw a skit one time on Saturday Night Live about this. There's a term in Detroit used to describe auto manufacturer strategy of selling the same vehicle under several different brands with just little minor cosmetic changes like hubcaps and upholstery and paint and colors and clip-on bumper stickers and insignias and all that. It's called badge engineering. I don't think anybody's been more guilty of it than Ford and Mercury. And that's what made me think about this. Years ago, I saw a skit where it showed the Mercury design department, and it went in the office, and everybody's sitting there reading magazines and doing nothing. And the guy came in and laid down the plans for the new Ford, and so they got it out and erased a couple of things off of it and wrote Mercury on it and said, here you go, here's the new Mercury. And that's what made me think about this whole thing. But because they do this badge engineering, they really do. And, you know, rocket scientists like Roger Smith decided that a great way for manufacturers operating multiple brand names, like the big three, he decided a great way for them to save money would to be design just a few vehicles and then sell five versions of each one of them. And you've all seen examples of this. The Chevy Trailblazer has been or is sold as the Saab 997X, the Isuzu Ascender, GMC Envoy, Buick Rainier, and the Oldsmobile Bravada. And even though Detroit promised to quit this ridiculous practice, they've kept it up. got this new Pontiac G3. Looks just like the Chevy Aveo or Aveo or whatever they call it. And it's in itself is a badge engineered copy of the Daewoo Kalos, I think they call it. And two problems with this strategy stand out. First, it demonstrates absolute naked contempt for customers' intelligence. Americans might not be really, really bright, but only the most knuckleheaded failed to realize that the Buick, Chevy, Olds, and Pontiac dealers, or Ford, Lincoln, Mercury, Chrysler, Plymouth, Dodge, they were selling the same damn thing. Second, it only works with good products. When the Ford Taurus was the best-selling car in America, it certainly didn't hurt Mercury dealers to come out with the Mercury Sable, which was nothing more than a carbon copy of the Taurus with a Mercury sign on it. But badge engineering can turn a bad product into a disastrous one. And when GM released that ghastly Chevy Uplander minivan, it didn't have one flop on its hand. It had four. Because they'd also come out with the Buick Terraza, the Saturn Relay, and the Pontiac Montana. And so this concept escapes the big three who think they're consumers who look at a bad Chevy and say, gee, I'd buy that steaming pile of crap if only it had a Pontiac badge on the hood. And so what I'm getting at here is this is where the GOP ought to pay attention. South Carolina Governor Mark Sanford is term limited. And he has to step down in 2010. And he's going to make a run at the White House in 2012. And his likely replacement, and I don't know if you've heard of this gal or not, is State Representative Nikki Haley. And she's got an excellent chance to win both the primary and an uncompetitive general election in 2010. Remember, we're talking about South Carolina here. If she wins in 2010, it's only a matter of time until conservatives beat the drum for Haley to run for president herself in 2012 or 2016. And she'll be their next really big thing. And you say, well, why is that? Is Haley a brilliant politician? Of course not. The reason is that prior to marriage and politics, Nikki Haley was Namrata Randhawa, the daughter of Sikh immigrants. Yes, this average run-of-the-mill right-winger is a young female and a minority with a nice anglicized name that won't frighten away old white people. And the Republicans got to look at that like the heavens have parted and God just sent Republicans their own Obama. And I know they said the same thing about Palin and Jindal, but Haley, she's really going to be it, I think. And the GOP, when it comes to this badge branding, they've been selling the same product in America for 30 years now. It's an all-purpose generic conservative that you could call like a unicorn. Not a unicorn, a unicorn. And the unicorns, they all worship Reagan. They all regurgitate supply-side economic theories. And they relentlessly campaign for lower taxes and cutting spending. That's all they know how to say. They say it in their sleep. They love the military. They don't negotiate with their enemies like these fruity liberals do. And they generally believe in reliving the Cold War. And they've got the predictable hard right positions on social issues. They solemnly talk of values and life, and they mention God like he or she has Tourette's syndrome or something. The unicorn people rail against the stock culture war enemies. They hate unions, the media. They hate academia. They hate activist judges. They hate the ACLU. Newt Gingrich is an example of these unicorns. People don't like Newt Gingrich. His career on the national stage was kind of short. But now he's squeezing an income out of the right-wing media foundation circuit. It's what they all do. while deluding himself into thinking that he's getting back into politics. Well, he's not. I don't think the Republicans would have anything to do with running Newt Gingrich for president. But I guess the point in bringing this all up is that they're at a complete loss for any new ideas. The GOP badge engineers, the same candidate repeatedly over and over and over again. You want one with a cowboy hat? Here's George Bush. You want one without a penis? Here's Sarah Palin. You want one that's black? Take a steel fellow for a test drive. And if black isn't your color, how about a less threatening minority, perhaps an Indian? You'll love Bobby Jindal. And are the traditionalists looking for the no-frills model in classic white? Take a look at Mitch Daniels or Tim Pawlenty. Would you prefer your white guy with a drawl? Well, then you got Mark Sanford or Haley Barbour. And they've got a different looking candidate for every conceivable taste. The Mormons, the Catholic, the Jews, senators, governors, businessmen, the Hollywood people, retired athletes. Young, old, fat, slim, bald. But once you get past the different exteriors, and this is my point in all this, these candidates are carbon copies of one another. They are unicorn, like their counterparts in the corporate offices of the big three. The GOP is convinced that the underlying product is just absolutely great, and the public simply waiting to find a body style that it likes. And when you look at the Republicans right now, you understand that stupidity is stubborn. Even bankruptcy hasn't convinced the auto manufacturers of their errant ways with this badge styling. So I'm bullish on the number of electoral drubbings the GOP can take before the light finally goes on, and maybe it never, hopefully it never will. I hope it never goes on for them. I'm not so sure it ever will, and I hope not. Let's take a break.
Aruba, Jamaica, ooh, I want to take you. Bermuda, Bahama, come on, my baby mama. Key Largo, Montego, baby, why don't we go? Jamaica, off the Florida Keys. There's a place called Kokomo. That's where you wanna go to get away from it all. Bodies in the sand, tropical kids working in your hands. We'll be falling in love to the rhythm of a steel drum band down in Kokomo.
Aruba, Jamaica, ooh, I wanna take you to Bermuda.
there. You're listening to the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network. Hey, what is it, a week from Monday? Yeah, a week from Monday, I think it is. We're heading out to Washington, D.C. for the annual Campaign for America's Future, ourfuture.org conference. Looking forward to it. I don't know if we'll intend to banquet this year or not. The tickets are kind of expensive. Kind of real expensive. Sometimes those are complimentary. They're not going to be this year, and they're very expensive. So I won't be eating at the banquet this year, I don't think. Almost definitely not. We were talking about the montage of people out there right now that the Republicans are searching through, sorting through, trying to find somebody that will carry their banner for president in the next election. I think right now they're more concerned with getting some Senate seats back and some House seats back. I think they know that they're in for a rough ride trying to defeat Barack Obama. But I say, and I've continued to say, Sarah Palin for president. Sarah Palin. At least Sarah Palin for candidate. You think maybe that'll never happen? Maybe, maybe not. But think about it for a minute or two. Just take a good look at the current state of that miserable, miserable, no-account party. Think about it. To whom are they going to turn in 3 years when they run against an incumbent president? John Boehner, Boehner, whatever the hell his name is, Mitch McConnell? My money's on Sarah Palin. I want her to get that nomination so bad I can taste it. It'll be like shooting fish in a barrel. If I had gun and if I ate fish, which I don't. And I don't have a barrel either. But you don't think that would be crazy enough to hand over the mantle of standard bearer to such an imbecilic person, do you? You think that such a move would be politically suicidal? You say, oh, no way, that could never happen. The woman is an idiot, she's an extremist, it'll never happen, never, 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 you say? I got three words for you. George Walker Bush. Let's, since there's just us here, let's be brutally honest here, shall we? Just for a minute. Since there's just us, the IQ of the so-called base of the Republican Party has deteriorated to such an amazing degree in the last 30 years. Sarah Palin candidacy is not only a very real possibility in 2012, I think to a lot of people it's damn near inevitable. Look at it. I mean, she's made to order for these fools. Are you kidding me? Can't argue any longer. I mean, you can't have any serious debate that the Republican Party has cornered the market on stupid. And in fact, with very few exceptions, judging by the quality of the people they have been sending to Washington in recent years, it's apparent that in the Republican Party, stupid sells. It does. You take Michael Steele, for example. When the American people elected the first African-American as president last November, the Republican National Committee decided that, what are we going to do? We got to counter that somehow. We need a facelift. We need a face dye. It was obvious, given their history of policy that are hostile to people of color, they couldn't have just another white guy as a spokesman of their party. They had to do something to counter Obama. There's a few black guys who earned their reputation on the talk show circuit talking about the Republican Party. A couple of them. I hate to admit it, a couple of them are fairly astute, like Ron Christie, for example. He's on MSNBC quite a bit. He's very bright. And he's loyal to the party no matter what happens. He wouldn't admit it, you know, if anything was wrong. And you would think that the geniuses who run the RNC would assign somebody like him up as their chairman, wouldn't you? I mean, I would have too, but that would have been out of character for him. Instead, they had to hire the dumbest black guy they could possibly find. And yesterday, in that idiotic speech that he gave, Michael Steele, before a gathering of party hacks in Maryland, Steele said that the gloves were about to come off and the honeymoon between President Obama and the GOP was over. The honeymoon, he said. Like Obama even got a sniff of a honeymoon from the GOP. And I took some quotes out of his speech. He said, "We're going to take this president on with class. We're going to take this president on with dignity. This will be a marked contrast to the shabby and classless way that the Democrats and the far left spoke of President Bush." Class and dignity, huh? Where was this guy when his party was trying to impeach Bill Clinton for lying about an affair with an intern? Was he in solitary someplace? Before he ever took the oath of office, I predicted 2 terms, and I think I know most of you did too, for Barack Obama, and all that. At that time, it might have been a little bit of a daring prophecy, but it's no longer as bold as it once was. And a matter of fact, I think, barring some amazing happening of some kind, I think it's a near certainty. Which brings us back to the problem facing the party of Lincoln. Sorry, Abe, I made you spin again. 3 years from now, they won't be able to nominate a bland and boring white guy. That's for damn sure. So what do? It's simple. They nominate a minority or a woman. And I can just picture the bumper stickers, Palin, Bobby Jindal, and 12. You mean you can count on it. Barring a miracle, scandal, or tragedy, either one of them or both of them is going to be on the 2012 ticket. And getting back to the subject of stupid, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday, the Republicans were actually thinking seriously about renaming the Democratic Party. Is it stupidity or simple arrogance that makes these assholes believe that they can actually rename another political party? If that would have happened, the Democrats should have forever referred to them as the Republican Fascist Party, but we're above that. I mean, does that sound to you like a gross exaggeration? If it does, I'd only remind you of how Benito Mussolini, the father of the fascist state, once defined fascism in a 1927 interview. He told journalists in English, "Fascism should more properly be called corporatism because it's the total merging of corporate and state power." Enough said. I have to admit right now that to face the absolute fact that these jackasses are really fun to watch. They really are. The problem is that there are many people out there, a few of them mentally disturbed, many of them armed to the teeth, all of them dumber than dog crap, who take their nonsense seriously. And God forbid, if there ever is another Tim McVeigh-style terrorist attack on our government, Glenn Beck and many others, you can be sure they're going to have blood on their hands. But don't forget what Michael Steele said yesterday. The era of apologizing for Republican mistakes in the past is now officially over. I don't recall hearing an apology in the first place. Do you? I made a note to myself around here somewhere, and I don't know what I did with it. Oh, well, doesn't matter. I know many of you are probably excited now that when you go on vacation this year, And you go visit the national park if you go to Yellowstone or someplace like that, that you can take your guns with you. I mean, it's great news from all of us. You'll be able to take your 12-gauge shotgun and a 45 to Yellowstone, and you'll be able to shoot things. And if one of those big moose comes around the corner, or maybe a bear, you can shoot them in self-defense, see? You've seen all the pictures, and I've been there, and I know a lot of you have as well. See those bears coming up to people's car? Now you'll be able to shoot them. Self-defense. Or if you're in one of those long lines, you're waiting to get into Yellowstone, and there can be some long lines in the summertime, you can fire off a few rounds and then, scare the hell out of everybody and go around them. This actually happened here. Yellow, to terrorist moose. I'm going to go kill me a moose. This actually happened in this neighborhood, and it did make me sad. I love animals. Just a couple of weeks ago, a guy shot a bear in his backyard here, not so very far from where I'm sitting. Bear wasn't attacking anybody. He wasn't menacing. He was just out in the backyard. He was passing through, and this guy comes out with his 45, and he killed the bear. The police arrested him, and now the local gun nuts are going crazy. This guy goes off because there's a harmless bear in his backyard. We're not talking about a grizzly here. And now he should be allowed to be packing when he's visiting a national park. Kind of makes you feel extra safe, doesn't it? Or maybe the Republicans have discovered that Glacier National Park or Zion National Park or the Everglades or maybe some of those places are hideouts for Al-Qaeda. Whole country's going nuts. Guns and national parks and the cowardly Democrats let the Republicans tack that on another bill. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And as long as I'm complaining about things, I want to say something that'll probably make some of you angry. And I don't care. I was appalled. And I mean absolutely angry, pounding on the armchair, appalled last week when I saw visual images of people booing, protesting against President Obama at the University of Notre Dame in beautiful South Bend, Indiana. I can't believe the crap that those people put up to keep this good and decent man from giving the speech at Notre Dame. And so I found something that I think they all ought to think about before they go out and start picketing the President of the United States and complaining about his views about something. Oh, we're holier than thou, we're Notre Dame. Maybe they ought to clean their own house, huh? Here's a story. A fiercely debated, long-delayed investigation into Ireland's Roman Catholic-run institutions say priests and nuns terrorized thousands of boys and girls in workhouse-style schools for decades, and government inspectors failed to stop the chronic beatings, rapes, and humiliation. 9 years in the making, Wednesday's 2,600-page report sides almost completely with the horrific reports of abuse from former students sent to more than 250 church-run, mostly residential institutions. The report unveiled by High Court Justice Sean Ryan found that molestation and rape were endemic in boys' facilities, chiefly run by the Christian Brothers Order, and supervisors pursued policies that increased the danger. Girls supervised by orders of nuns, chiefly the Sisters of Mercy, suffered much less sexual abuse, but frequent assaults and humiliation designed to make them feel worthless. In some schools, a high level of ritualized beatings was routine. Girls were struck with implements designed to maximize pain and were struck on all parts of the body, the report said. Personal and family denigration was widespread. This West lasted well into the 1990s, if it ended then. And the Catholic Church tried to cover that up. And they have the unmitigated gall to go out and protest Barack Obama for doing the kind-hearted thing and the honorable thing to come to their campus and give the commencement address. Yet this went on in their midst for years, for decades. Well, that's as two-faced and hypocritical as it possibly gets. I'm a football fan, college football fan, and I love my Ohio State Buckeyes, and I've never been a fan of Notre Dame. It's got nothing to do with football. It's got to do with hypocrisy. That's something I hate almost as much as, or more than anything, hypocrisy. And so they had to make a big deal out of this good and decent man giving a commencement address at their university. And it was a great speech. And they should be honored at Notre Dame to have had that man give their address. Honored. Well, I want to thank you for joining us here on the Guy James Show this week. It was an honor for me to have all of you along with us. Always appreciate having you along and appreciate your views and your listenership. Don't forget, we are a listener-supported program. We could use your help right now. TheGuyJamesShow.com is where you can assist us if you like. And don't forget, we're part of the Head On Radio Network. Mark coming up next. Bob after that. Lots of good radio coming your way. Don't forget, you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth.